and check-in. All right, so today is July 11th, 7/11, 2019. This is the Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. And today we're talking about choosing perspectives, but first we're going to check in and celebrate. So, Raghu, you want to go first?
Sure. So, from what we discussed last time, trying to inject some joy in I forget what the technical term is. I don't have the pamphlet in front of me, but I was trying to inject some lightheartedness.
Humor and play.
Yeah. So some lightheartedness in our family activities. So was able to do that in a couple of different ways.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So like since it's summer, taking them out, and then making sure, like, we have three kids, so spending individual time with each one of them. So I was able to do that. So I was feeling pretty good about it.
Awesome. Wonderful. Very cool. Can you tell me about one specific time that stood out over the past couple weeks?
The younger two like playing badminton, so I was taking them out for individual games. So, trying to, when the situation is getting tense, for whatever reason, like trying to, ease the situation by trying to make fun of something. Was able to reduce the tension and make it easier for everyone.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Maria, yeah. What do you want to celebrate?
Well, we just got back from a very lovely family vacation. I've been out of pocket for a little while. Wasn't able to hit any of the meetings due to just time change and travel and, just activities going on. But it was all good, and
So tell me about a highlight. Everything went well, and no one fought, and it was like fabulous.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. my daughter, and it was my daughter, husband, and I, and we bickered and fought less than in previous vacations. So I call that a plus. And
I do.
It's like if you can say, hey, there was, less things like that. And my daughter and I are more chill, and my husband gets very uptight, very easy. And so we were trying to kind of, it takes him a while to kind of decompress and everything, but we had a good it was a good vacation, so
wonderful.
We're glad that we did it.
Well, that is for sure a celebration. Melanie, yeah. How are you?
I'm on mute because I have craziness in the background. Let me scamper out of the way, and I will do a little celebrating, and then I will go back on mute. I'm celebrating that we are actually having dinner.
Yay, dinner is a good thing.
I'm celebrating the first week of pre-team gymnastics.
Ah, how's it going?
We decided to go for it, and she's having a fabulous time.
Awesome.
And there is some serious stretching of various selves in the process as well. But
in a good way,
going well. And
yeah.
I'm furthermore celebrating that I actually found a time this week that I could dial in, because with day camp pickup this week being at noon, it rather constrains me.
I see. Well, I'm glad you were able to make it tonight. That's fabulous.
Thank
Good.
You.
Excellent celebrations all around, for sure. All right, let me double check and see if someone else has joined us. I've gotten in the habit of walking away from my laptop while we're talking. And then I look back, and people have joined us, and I feel bad because I don't know anyone else is here. No, okay, cool. Now it's the four of us, which is perfect. Okay, so we're going to be talking about choosing perspectives today, which is a really awesome topic because you can always find a different perspective, and sometimes by shifting your perspective of a situation or the way a person is viewing the situation, it makes things a lot easier, or it makes it easier for you to come from a place of empathy. And so before we move into the topic, we're going to go back around and take aim. And so, Raghu, since you started with celebrating, do you want to start with taking aim?
So taking aim at a different perspective. Sorry, what is the
maybe.
What are we taking?
So we're taking when we take aim, we're taking aim on the change we want to see. And sometimes it's the sometimes it's the topic of the week. Sometimes it's whatever's top of mind. You know, maybe you're still working on relationship with your girls. Maybe you're still working on finding humor and play. Maybe it's still about bedtime. It's kind of whatever is top of mind, whatever is still kind of bugging you, or maybe it's something that you need to work on for you. It's just whatever comes to your mind when we talk about the change that you want to see. Is the change in you? Is the change in your daughters? Is the change in the routine? What is the change that you want to see?
Oh,
and that's what
okay.
We're going to take aim on.
Can you come back to me? I
sure.
Really thought about it. Sorry.
It's okay. No, you're totally fine. There's no wrong answer. So don't overthink it. Okay. Maria, what would you like to take aim on?
Well, I would like to take aim on trying to help facilitate my daughter's opinion of herself and her abilities. Is that something that I would take aim on, or should I do it something more about?
No, that's perfect.
How I feel.
Tell me more about
that.
Okay. You want to help her with her self? Yeah, that's fine. You want to help? You want to help her with her self esteem? Is that what?
Self esteem and self confidence. So she's, you know, we're in the summer months, and you know, she was trying to decide. She's in company. She's a dancer, and we're trying mm-hmm. to decide, does she want to go on one more year and dance in this dance company, or does she want to stop? And, you know, my thing was, it's fine if you stop, but you have to decide on another sport. And
mm-hmm.
Because I don't want her to have so much time in her hands that she's not doing anything and not getting any physical activity. Like, she needs that outlet. And I think that
uh-huh.
it's, you know, important for her to do something. And so I was trying to encourage, you know, different things. And we talked about different camps. And she says, I'm not really good at anything else besides dance and ballet.
Aww.
She says, sometimes I don't even feel like I'm good at that. You know, she just,
aww.
You know, it's like the typical ADD, ADHD, suffering from that low self-esteem
sure.
area, you know. So I really want to lift that confidence. I try to boost that, but she doesn't always see it as such because she's like, well, you're my mom, so you
uh-huh.
would always say that.
That's not valid somehow.
But yeah, somehow it's not as valid as if it were from somewhere else, you know, so
sure.
coming from somebody else. So I'm just trying to kind of facilitate her confidence level, having her change. She has a very negative outlook on things a lot of times. And, you know, it's the glass
about
being
negative.
Half empty versus half full. Well,
negative, like I never get what I want, or negative, like I suck at everything.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
I'm sorry. I'm walking around the house. Tell me about negative, like I suck at everything I do, or negative, like no matter what I want or try to get, I never get what I want and life isn't fair, that kind of negativity, or.
All of it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not popular enough. I'm not, you know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so it's very much a frustrating factor for my husband and I.
Sure.
And, you know, we've tried to encourage positive thoughts and keep things positive. But, you know, it's very, very challenging. So if I can start turning the corner with her on that, I would be – so happy for her to look at perspectives, you know, choosing. And I said to myself, when I was reading this, wow, I'd really like for her to read this I don't know if it would be uh-huh. over her head as a 13-year-old or not.
I doubt
but,
it.
You know, but I just felt like this one page said a lot, you know. And so, yeah, I'd like to just, anything I can help to facilitate choosing a positive perspective over a negative one would be would be great. Okay. And shifting expectations of others. So for instance, you know, she calls me a helicopter mom. Well, she's my only child. I'm really not
right.
a helicopter mom, but I do, you know, police her phone, I troll her, you know, text messages, you know,
yeah,
I want to know about what's
mom.
Going on with her. I'm a plugged
right.
in mom, and you know,
yeah.
So last night she was crying when I was saying, went in to say goodnight to her. And I'm like, what's going on? And I said, you know, she says, well, a friend of hers, they've been arguing and they were not going to be friends anymore. And this was devastating to her because they've been friends since kindergarten. And so usually she'll talk to me, but she didn't want to talk to me. So I'm just kind of waiting my turn and know that at some point, hopefully she'll open up to me and tell me what's going on. So, yeah.
Let me ask you a clarifying
really
question.
To dig in.
Yeah. When you remind her of the things that she's been successful at, no matter what it is, if it's a competition or at school or with a friend or whatever, does she accept that? Even I know that she says, you know, you're my mom, but I mean, the accomplishments that are like that, you know, the ones where she can't really argue, yes, I did that. Yes, I achieved that. Yes, I got that grade. Yes, I got, you know, that score at the competition or whatever. Are those things that she accepts or remembers?
Sometimes,
when you bring them up?
Yes. Sometimes, but other times she'll try to, you know, like downplay them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
Oh, well, that was easy. Or, you know, guessed some of the answers, so it wasn't, you know, like on an Iowa test or something like that. You know, so she doesn't give herself enough credit the majority of the time, which is very frustrating as a parent.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, perfect. We'll come back to that. Melanie, what would you like to take?
All right, I've been pondering that, and I think I need to take aim on the birthday party that needs to happen at the end of the month. I have gotten an extensive wish list from the child who is going up an age group, and I'm not swinging into action yet, and I suspect there's some perspective taking shifts that need to go on in my head to make it feel like something I can actually start working on as opposed to something that I look at and go, no.
Okay, so tell me more about that. Is it like a gut reaction, like that's an awful lot, you're being spoiled kind of thing, or is it?
Well, part of it is that the idea is an age appropriate, you know, invite a whole bunch of girls for a sleepover, but I don't know that the party model idea survives a 3-to-5 challenge.
Okay.
I think part of it is about kind of figuring out what's actually feasible.
Okay.
Complicated by the fact that it's summer, so on the one hand, nobody could be around, and it could be the sleepover that wasn't, or everybody could be around, in which case the reach list of, well, maybe at least two people on this list would be able to come would turn into a mob of children. So it just right now, it just doesn't feel very workable or easy to, on the one hand, modulate expectations, and on the other hand, move forward into just kind of the making things happen stage.
Gotcha. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit here because I can't
Absolutely.
Tell if it's about setting boundaries, if it's about overwhelm maybe on your part a little bit, setting expectations or really what specifically in there's going on or surviving?
I think I'm a little bit muddy about what feels, I'm muddy about what feels reasonable for my end, and because I'm muddy about what I feel is a reasonable thing that I can expect for myself, it makes it hard for me to then set boundaries and expectations.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So let's continue on that, shall we?
Yeah, and it's complicated by the fact that the only time we could schedule the middle school Girl Scout camping trip is more or less 2 days after the birthday. So, it's going to be run a birthday and then hop in the car with five girls and head to Ohio for several days of outdoor camping in early August, which...
Oh, dear.
I, at the moment, I just don't feel like I'm looking forward to the end of the month at all.
Yeah, I'm sensing that. And maybe it's all kind of wrapped up together. Maybe there's a little summer fatigue going on, too.
Well, I'm definitely in a fatigue and overdrive situation. I had a freelance job that went insanely over time budget, and it came out of my personal time to make it happen.
I'm sorry, that's the worst.
Yeah, because, I'm still getting paid for it all, which is good.
Yeah.
But the timing ended up being really unfortunate, and the time schedule at the end ended up being really, really rushed, and things had to be done right now, and then they took three times as long. And then in the middle of that, I took an impromptu road trip to a town about 3 hours away to help a dear friend of mine who was moving a parent into assisted living. And this dear friend of mine lives in Australia, so like when she gets as close as 3 hours, we go see each other.
You go.
But I didn't really need to sort of be sandwiching that between two of these long freelance days. So, exhaustion is the name of the game right now.
For sure. But that's one of those where you do the 10-10-10 or the 5-5-5, and you say, 5 years from now, what's going to be more important, that you helped your friend or that?
Absolutely. Exhausting. And it was really incredibly clear that was the thing that needed to happen.
Well, good for you. I want to make sure you celebrate and honor the fact that you took the time to do that and that you prioritized in a way that was appropriate for your emotional well-being. And
not just that, but I'm really, really proud of myself for how well I got buy-in from my kids.
Ooh,
to go and do
good
that.
Job.
I know.
Listen
that was
you.
Like, I was just like patting myself on the back for that one.
Way to go.
Like,
very
phenomenal.
Well,
I mean, I even got a compliment from my 8-year-old who said, you really helped me figure out how I could, how you could do this on my terms. It wasn't exactly what she said, but basically she was like,
thank you. Aw, that's very nice. Yay. Way to go. What a good feeling.
I know.
All right, Raghu, you ready?
Yep.
All right.
So, I think I've mentioned this before, where I feel my daughter's being a bit, I don't know if insular is the right word, but like she's not making enough friends, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's summertime is, it's not helping, where she doesn't have her regular classmates.
Mm-hmm.
And then what this also leads to is the fact that, she'll be more at home, and if there's no camp going on, it's like stuck inside her room. And this is probably the first summer where she's not even interested in like going to the library to read books, which she normally is interested in. So, I want to take aim at how to have her reach out, make more friends, and reach out to her older friends, and you know, be more social, right? Because at some point we're all social animals, so.
Right. So the question is: the lack of available friends or the lack of new friends something that's bothering her, or is it something that's bothering you because she's spending so much time in her room instead of going outside?
Right. I mean, it's bothering me because I care for her, and I think that it's think it's bothering her. So
okay.
I feel that she could have more effort and, you know, maybe different strategies. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how we'll solve this.
She's saying she's lonely and she doesn't have anything to do or no one to do stuff with, that kind of thing.
That's right.
Okay. Cool. Just making sure I understand. All right. We will definitely be able to work with that. Okay, so choosing perspectives. This is such a fun topic because I have learned, I don't know about you guys, but I have learned over the years and through many fun and exciting and misunderstandings of my life or in my life that if I can shift perspective or see things from someone else's perspective, then I am far more likely to be able to understand a situation. And I tend to be the kind of person I used to be the kind of person who I would always perceive that people were talking about me as a parent or making judgments based on what they saw, you know, maybe in the parking lot or the way that my kids were dressed at school or the fact that they didn't have a coat on during the winter, that, you know, maybe I wasn't a very good mother because I sent them to school without proper, you know, clothing or attire. And the fact was my kids refuse to wear coats because they're all little heaters and it never even bothers them. And I think it becomes like almost a challenge for them to make it through winter without a coat. And if I can see what's going on from other people's perspective, it makes things a lot easier. I'll never forget the day that I went into the school office to pick one of my kids up for a doctor's appointment, and the school secretary kind of gave me a dirty look. And I was like, there she's, you know, maybe I was late. I can't remember exactly what was going on that day. Or, you know, I just, in my mind, I had this thought that she had made an assessment or evaluation of me and that the dirty look had to do with me. Right. But later on, I found out that her mom had been really, really ill and was in the hospital, and she was trying to get out the door, and I was a couple minutes late picking Isaac up, I think, and I was holding her from getting out the door to go see her mom in the hospital one last time. And so when I can see things from someone else's perspective and I know what's going on in their mind or where they're coming from, gosh, you know, it has nothing to do with me and the kind of parent I am. I mean, yeah, I was maybe a couple minutes late, but it wasn't a judgment on me. It was the fact that she was frustrated and trying to get out the door to go see her mom in the hospital. And there's been so many situations like that where I think I have an idea what's going on, and then I ask questions or I see things from someone else's perspective, and I realize that, wow, I was totally wrong. My mother-in-law, this is another good one. My mother-in-law, she's older, and she's in her 80s now, and when she comes to visit the kids, which she still does, which is awesome, I try to make things really easy for her. I try to put together, you know, outings that where she's not going to have to do a lot of driving or kind of mess with, you know, money or tokens or, you know, depending on what the outing is. Like, I would never send her to Chuck E. Cheese, but they may go to putt-putt golfing or something. And so I always try to, ahead of time, put together what she's going to need, if it's like a membership card or a gift card or, you know, some easy way to get through the whole process of getting through putt-putt golf with my kids. And I think I'm being helpful. Now, the last time that she came in town and I did that, she said, why do you do that? Here I wanted to do something nice for the kids, and you've already done it all. So, you know, it takes away my ability to do something nice for them. Never even occurred to me that she would see it from that perspective. I thought I was being helpful. And in her mind, I was taking away her opportunity to do something nice for the kids. So there's always a different perspective, right? So what's coming up for you guys? Can you think of a time where maybe a different perspective helped you understand a situation that may have gone a different direction had you not sought out the other person's perspective? Never?
My brain is flooding, Jeremy. I just can't articulate. But, you know, but I definitely, sometimes we don't know, you know, like we don't,
yeah,
we don't get that other person's perspective. And I guess that's the frustrating part is that you know that there's other perspectives, but you just, sometimes you never find out what they are.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think about something that's, you know, coming to mind.
Just knowing. Yeah. Sometimes just knowing that there's another perspective that we're not seeing, I think gives us, you know, pause or allows us the opportunity to say, I don't have all the information here. You know, there's got to be, you know, knowing what I, at least I know for me, 99% of the time, whatever I perceive is going on is not what is going on. So I know I'm going to be completely wrong.
Right.
And so I have just learned over time to assume best intentions because I, you know, I immediately go to the negative and then I know I'm wrong. And I create this whole host of expectations and conversations in my head that are going to be completely pointless because what's really going on is something that I hadn't considered. And sometimes just that moment, and I'm not trying to put my perspective of the world on you. I'm just telling you how my brain used to work and still works sometimes, which is probably frightening. But sometimes just knowing that there's something that I don't know and that's got to be what's going on is enough, even if you can't think of a, just, you know, a specific situation right now.
Yeah. I have a tendency to be, you know, I'm always running a little bit behind. There's always like one more thing for me to do and, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
So that will cause stress in my relationship with my husband. This has in the past. I've become much more mindful of my, EDD self and what I tend to do and try to not let those things happen. Sometimes they still happen, but a lot less often. And we had a conversation once not too long ago, and I, you know, we talked about this situation. And for him, it was kind of, you know, a situation that went back to his childhood and, you know.
Oh, gosh.
It really triggered him a lot. But, you know, for decades, I didn't know this, you know. And then now that I know it, it kind of, it helps me a little bit, you know, to be more mindful about my time management, whether I'm with him or not, you know, because I know that's a struggle that I have personally. The perspective was completely different than what I had thought it was.
Yeah. So if we're thinking about your daughter, then if we can go ahead and just kind of touch on what you were taking aim on. What might her perspective be?
She, with regard to time,
when she's kind of beating herself up. No, like when she's, you know, when she's, you know, being hard on herself. What do you think's going on in her mind?
Well, I mean, she feels like she can't do anything right. She, you know, like I said before, that, you know, it's I'm not pretty enough. I'm ugly. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you really are beautiful. And I'm not saying that because I'm your mom. Like people, strangers have come up to me and said, she's so pretty. You know, she's such a such a beautiful dancer. People don't have to come up and say those things to you, you know?
No.
And
some people
are strangers, you know? And
sure.
Which gives you pause because you, you know,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm just like,
she's 13.
You know, when she gets a compliment, right. When she gets a compliment to her face, she's, you know, it's, oh, thank you. You know, it's like so humble and like,
But she
like
says thank
you? She almost
you?
Doesn't believe it. Oh, yes, she does. Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's just, like, kind of very shy, you know, about it. And I say, see, I'm not the only one, you know? And so she does hear that. And that really, she was at a play this past fall, and she did a fantastic job. And she was just over the moon. And she really appreciated, you know, the compliments that she got from you know, people in the audience that that saw her. So I think it's just she's got to hear those things over and over again. Continually.
Sure.
But when it comes just from her mom or even just a family member, especially an immediate family member, it's just she doesn't take it.
It's invalidated.
At the same value. It's not at the same value as for others. Like she does appreciate, you know, like I try to find ways to boost her confidence of little things that she'll do, you know, around the house. And when she does something, you know, well, I'll say, hey, you know, great job putting away the dishes or this or that. So, you know, it's just a struggle, you know.
Yeah. No, I get it. Could it be, and this, I probably shouldn't suggest this, but it's just something that came to mind while you were talking. Could it be a humility thing? Like, is she afraid that she might come, is there a possibility that she has a fear of coming across as being conceited or getting a big head if she doesn't downplay her accomplishments or downplay who she is and her talents? Is there any validity there?
I don't think so. Because, you know, she's a few times, like, after this, you know, these performances and everything that she had a much higher opinion of herself with other people's comments. And, you know, but then she kind of, she'll forget about that, you know, and then it's like, oh, I wasn't that good, or, oh, that was not that great, or, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we were in the same room. What were you looking at? You know, how are you looking at this? So, and so, you know, it's just kind of an ongoing thing. No,
sure.
She, you know, we've taught her to be humble, you know, like don't be overly boastful and, you know, be confident in your abilities, but don't be cocky. And, but I don't think that that's it at all. I honestly don't.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Good to know. Just a thought. Like I said, I'm usually wrong.
Thanks.
It's good. I love being wrong. Raghu or Melanie, what's coming up for you guys? Has there been a situation recently where a shift in perspective has helped you understand better where maybe someone else was coming from or maybe where your kids are coming from?
Yeah, I can add to that. So, you know, just like what I was taking aim for my daughter about, you know, how she's not being, you know, she's not being social enough. It might be, you know, from her perspective, like, I haven't analyzed it. I'm not sure how to figure out like what's happening in her mind. I'm still trying to figure it out. But the thing is that obviously she doesn't see it as I do. She probably thinks it's okay. And I'm not sure if so maybe my suspicion is she thinks that, well, you know, they should be the ones reaching out to her and not her reaching out to others, right? And I'm like trying to tell her that that it's okay, you know, it's fine if they don't reach out to you. It's okay for you to make that first step to your friends and then have them, you know, like do it like four or five times before you feel that, oh, the other person doesn't doesn't want to meet you or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did have that. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I mean that was the one conversation I had with her and I tried to tell her that, you know, it's not really there could be so many things going on for them. You don't know what's going on, so it's okay that, you know, summertime is fine to reach out. They might have vacations planned, they might have other classes going on, who knows what's going on, right? They might not even know if you're in town, so all those kind of things might be at play here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how does she respond to that?
She doesn't say anything. She, like, goes into a shell and, like, you know, maybe mumbles something. And then, and it's not something, like, I want to, like, it's not, like, a disciplining thing or anything like that, right? Like, give me an answer.
Right.
You know, and then I say, oh, why don't you think about it? And then why don't we try something? So, I mean, it's just, like, a soft conversation that I've had with her once. And this is why I'd like to work on this with her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how we get the other person to share their perspective on things, right? Like, how do we? What are the magic words that we say that, hey, why don't you tell me?
Sometimes we don't get the magic words. You're right. Sometimes we don't ever find out the other perspective, and it's kind of up to us to intuit or kind of like we said earlier, just, I hate to assume, but you know there's something else going on, right? And you know that you don't know what it is. And so in the absence of information, then, you know, what can we intuit based on what we know about the person that we're trying to get a different perspective on? What can we intuit? And then and how does it help to assume the negative? You know, it's lots of things come to mind. But I would just be guessing, right? I mean, she could be embarrassed. She could be frustrated. She could be, it could not be bothering her at all. You know, she could wish that she had the answers too. You know, it could be any number of things. But whatever it is, and sometimes kids just get flooded, I think. And, you know, when we ask them questions, even if it's not, you know, in a disciplinary situation, just a conversation, and, you know, you never know what's going on in our kids' minds or what has happened in the past couple hours. You know, they may just be flooded in general. There's a whole host of possibilities that may actually have nothing to do with the topic at hand. And sometimes it's just that. Sometimes it's just saying, should we discuss this later? You know, can we revisit this later and see what happens next?
Right. But like you said, you know, I don't know if she's embarrassed or if she, like, if she's developing low self-esteem. I don't know. Like, I don't think if those are some possible reasons, then, you know, I'd like to fix that, being a concerned parent,
sure.
But I'm not quite sure how to go about it.
So, I mean, if you're concerned about low self-esteem or depression or something like that, I think that you will know. I think that there will be more signs that will become less muddy, I guess, or more clear over time. You know,
mm-hmm.
It could be, you said you've only had the conversation with her once, but I know you've mentioned a couple times that since you guys was it moved or that she switched schools, that she's had challenges. She can't see the friends from the old school, and she hasn't really connected with the people at the new school yet.
Right. That's what we talked last time. That's right.
Yeah. So it's an area of concern for sure. What are some other things that would be, I mean, you can sign her up for something, right? You can, there are things that you can kind of make her be social, but those things can kind of backfire as well.
Right. I mean, like, we did sign her up for a couple of camps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like a counselor in those two camps that we signed her up for. Yeah, she's a counselor.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, she's taking care of other, you know, because she's in, like, she's rising into grade 8 now.
Yeah.
And so she along with, you know, a bunch of her age kids were counseling other smaller kids. So, she, you know, when she was put in a position of responsibility there, it seemed like things went well. She was happy. I think she was generally happy that, you know, she was going out and being with other people.
But
that might be a transient thing, right? It might be just a skin deep connection, so to speak, of, while the camp's going on, people are resilient, so they can just mask whatever feelings they have for that period of time. So I don't know if that's what's happening. It's not like she came back and said, "Oh, you know, there's this friend I met. I need to, you know, hang out with them more often. There's a new friend I want to develop." You know, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Would that be something typical for her to say? Like, if she met someone she wanted to follow up with or see again, would she be likely to mention it?
Yeah, I mean, she's never mentioned it, and maybe I can say that, hey, if there's somebody, you know, maybe that's something I can do later today, like today or tomorrow. Yeah. Like, hey, if there's somebody you want to hang out with more, then why don't you get their phone number, and then we can try and see if we can have a play date or something.
Yeah. The other piece, too, is that, you know, for our kids with ADHD, it is not unusual. In fact, it's quite common for them to be friends or friendly with kids who are older than they are or kids who are younger than they are by as much as 2 or 3 years either direction. And that's perfectly normal. And so it may be that that's the age range that she needs to be looking in for in terms of friends outside of school. That doesn't mean that she's not going to have friends that are, you know, in her grade level at school, but, you know, particularly during summers and vacations and things like that, there is absolutely no reason why someone who may be 2 or 3 years younger or older might not be a better target friend group for her, and actually probably more age appropriate for a kid with ADHD, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. Yep.
Okay. Cool. We'll come back. Don't worry. Melanie, how are you? Birthday party. Girl Scouts.
Yes. I've been listening to everybody else's stories just with great interest.
Perspective.
Yeah. So the perspective I can see is how appealing the proposed ideas are to the person who proposed them. And that gives me, in part, the desire to sort of see what I can do to make happen. And then on the other hand, I think what I wish could happen would be more, less of me having to do all the perspective taking.
Okay.
I know that's a long game kind of wish. But
right.
But I also think it's okay just to go, yeah, that's kind of in this moment what I really honestly wish is for somebody else to say, you know, actually.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, part of this is how we model to our kids, right? I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, they're not overnight going to, you know, suddenly develop empathy for our perspectives necessarily or for or be able to see where we're coming from.
Yeah.
But we can certainly, yeah, driving down the street, someone cuts you off or whatever. I mean, oh, they must be in a hurry, you know, or maybe they're on their way to the hospital. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can
Absolutely.
Throw out and model for our kids to give them, you know, the idea that, hey, there's something else going on a lot of the time. And this is
yeah.
the only piece
yeah.
that we see. Mm-hmm.
And that could very well be, you know, the case when it comes to, you know, who can and can't come. Well, you know, they might have had something else planned for a long time, or they might not be, you know, wanting to do that sort of thing. Or so there's that kind of perspective taking, and then there's uh-huh. the you know, what's I mean, there's the what's the wish list, and then there's what's actually, you know, what's actually feasible from a day-to-day standpoint in terms
mm-hmm.
of what would or wouldn't over represent an overexertion.
On your part or on their part?
Theirs.
Okay. I mean, there's some mommy engineering that can go on here as well, right?
Right.
And,
I'm
you know,
feeling
kind
a
of
little...
assess ahead of time.
I'm feeling... Actually, I'd love to hear, you know, when you say that, an example of what you mean by that in this moment. I think sometimes I'm capable of that. I think I am. But, you know, like at the moment, my brain is going a giant blank.
Totally with you. No, I totally get it. No, I'm just, and I shouldn't just say mommy engineering. I should say parent engineering. But, you know, in terms of like the birthday party, you know, you can certainly call ahead without your daughter knowing or, you know, reach out to, you know, specific friends who may be on the invite list and see who's going to be in town. And then, you know, there's no reason why you can't turn to your daughter and say, these are the friends that we're going to have, or we're going to have this many friends, you know, and limit it from the get-go so that you set her up for success and also kind of decrease the potential for either overwhelm, disappointment, or disaster.
I love that that list of three things to be watching out for.
Overwhelm, disappointment, or disaster.
Yes, that's really lovely and kind of captures my the moments when my perspective is like, really.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, there's definitely times when it's okay to be a little more assertive, I guess, or directive in terms of what the expectations are. Because birthday parties are in general fraught with potential
for those three particular strong emotions.
For younger kids anyway. Yeah, and for older kids too, come to think of it. You know, that's
yeah.
another perspective.
Yeah,
topic.
It's so important that the perfectionism comes out. And when the perfectionism comes out, I think that's the other thing, is when the perfectionism comes out, it starts making the likelihood of those D's that you were talking about actually
uh-huh.
manifesting, because there's so much pressure on the idea or
uh-huh.
the ideal.
And the expectation, right? Anytime we have an expectation, there's you know, either a resentment coming fast behind, or there's a challenge in meeting the expectation, no matter what it is.
Right.
And so it's managing, as we say, managing and setting realistic expectations too, along with this perspective
right.
taking.
Right. And just remembering that even having to adjust one's expectations can be a major and challenging transition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so what?
Which kind of makes it harder to have those conversations around boundaries and expectations hard, because even that is fraught.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or it can be. I mean, I think it's about modeling sometimes, right? You know, and normalizing, you know, and saying, hey, it's lots of people or lots of young ladies with ADHD have these concerns. Or, you know, Maria, for your daughter, lots of women, lots of adults, lots of men too with ADHD, and particularly young girls with ADHD, struggle to remember the amazing things that they've accomplished. And so a lot of them write lists. So when they're feeling like their self-worth is down, they can go back to the list. The, you know, the magical, we call it the magic moments on the mountaintop list, or, you know, my superstar achievements or whatever list. And, you know, because it's so easy to forget the things that she's done. And you go back and look at that list when you're feeling low, and to help you remember, because that's really common for people with ADHD to forget those important things.
That's a great
idea.
But,
you know, just like when we have these groups, you know, when we all get together and we hear that what happens in your house happens in my house, you know, and that your normal kind of looks like my normal, sometimes just by saying you know, it's really normal to have an expectation about your birthday party, or it's really normal to think that this is going to happen. But here's what else may be happening. Sometimes just having that conversation is enough. Not always, and maybe not often even, but sometimes. Oh, just verbalizing it. And so, Raghu, I'm thinking about you and your daughter, and part of me is wondering if it is a conversation. I see how much it's worrying her.
Mm-hmm. You mean I need to have a open-ended conversation with her, and then...
It's hard. I don't know the answer to that. I feel like I know you're struggling with it, and you said a couple things that make me wonder. Not make me wonder. I can tell you're concerned, and I'm sensing that you need more answers than you have at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm misreading you.
No.
But I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I agree with you what you're saying so far.
Okay. So I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it's worth it just to sit down and say, hey, this is what I'm worried about. Is this, how are you feeling? You know, I'm worried that you know, however it would be appropriate for you to say when you're talking with your daughter, you know, I'm worried that this is bugging you, or I'm worried that you're feeling bad about this, or what can I do to help you with this? You know, is it bugging you? Or is it bugging you to the level that that it's bugging me, or that I think it's bugging you? You know, that's about perspective too, right? And perception.
Okay.
How does that, I mean, you guys have to choose what action step makes sense for you. That was just something that I was thinking about as we were talking. So please don't feel like you have to accept that. That's just something I'm throwing out there.
No, I think it's fair because it's almost like lack of data. So I need to get someone, and just asking the source is the best thing rather than guessing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the other piece with our teenage girls, or soon-to-be teenage girls with ADHD, is that things can and will change over the course of minutes. So what may have been bothering her yesterday or an hour ago may be so old news, Dad. That was like so long ago. Oh, no, so-and-so and I are totally best friends now.
That's happened. That's true. That's happened.
Yeah, that's I remember learning to get, well, yeah. My daughter would tell me friends horrible stories, you know, about XYZ friend, and I would get angry at XYZ friend until I remembered what it was like to be a teenage girl and let it go because, you know, without a doubt, 24 hours later, they were best friends again. And you just get off the emotional roller coaster somewhere in the middle. But anyway, sorry, that was my experience. So an action step that you're willing to take.
Well, for me, it's easy. I'm gonna today or tomorrow, I'm gonna sit down with her and, maybe after dinner or something when everyone's calm, have that question, not right after she's had a strenuous activity, but somewhere mm-hmm. where she's more happy.
Yeah. And only you can decide how serious it should be, right? Is it a lighthearted conversation? Is it just something that kind of comes up while you guys are doing something else so it doesn't feel as heavy? Or is it a serious conversation?
Yeah, if I try to do a lighthearted conversation, it's going to appear real fake to her.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So,
well, that's
I think
good.
I just have to go direct to the point.
That's excellent self-awareness. Maria, how about you? What's an action step that you're willing to take to help your daughter?
Well, I think a good conversation, you know, for her, you know, just try to get her to talk to me and, mm-hmm. you know, open up and tell me the things that are bothering her. But a lot of times, you know, I used to be her springboard for everything. And, mm-hmm. You know, now she's talking more to her friends and, you know, texting them. And I just think a lot of things can get lost in text or misconstrued.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. You know, I think I want to, you know, talk to her about maybe helping her mend this, the perspective she has on this friendship and you know, is it worth salvaging? Have a look at it as, you know, she said that we're arguing about stupid stuff. It's just not even worth it. You know, and maybe just have her take a closer look at that and say, is it really stupid stuff? Did you hurt the feelings? You know, or is there any, you know, like, I don't want to blame her, though. Like, you know, I don't want to say that's your fault, because it's not, you know, at all, usually the point. So just find a way for her to open up more, I think, and talk about perspective she has about things. And I guess what I'm struggling with would be if she has a negative perspective or a not a great perspective, whether it be about a situation or herself or something, how to flip it, how to show her just by shifting that it could make a huge difference. Do you have any suggestions with that?
I mean, I think you're talking about it already, right? I mean, some of it's a conversation, some of it's modeling, some of it's, you know, trusting your gut and her perceptions of the situation. You know, I don't know I don't want you to put that on yourself. I don't know that you can completely flip her perspective on your own at this point. I mean, I think in some situations you can, but I think in some situations it's going to be, well, situational. And then, you know, also sometimes, like you said, you know, they're at the age now where someone else can say the exact same thing that you said, and it's so much more meaningful and impactful coming from so-and-so than it is from you. So I think honoring and recognizing that maybe you're not going to be the one to do that is okay, too. But, yeah, certainly, I mean, be vigilant and continue to look for, you know, information. And if you're, you know, truly concerned about what's going on in this friendship or her self-esteem and what threshold, you know, when you're willing to step in, or if there's something going on there that you kind of, like with Revu, where you're concerned that there's some other aspect that may be more clinical or require some more immediate types of intervention. Just be aware of it, I think.
Yeah.
Melanie, what are we going to do?
Well, first I'm going to get off mute. And and then I think I'm going to start having some more conversations to get a little bit more concrete and, you know, start turning this from we have a brainstorming wish list to here's what I can do, here's what I want to think kind of the principles that I want to have around it, and here's what I'm willing to negotiate around, so that, like, you know, maybe
also.
Yeah, maybe we have a trade-off between, like, you can either have this many people or you can have that long of an event. You know, pick which is more important to you, a larger list or a longer time, and see if we can't, like, play with the variables so that each of us gets enough of what we want to be pleased with the outcome.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Thank you. Great work today. Definitely email or text or post something in the Facebook group. You know, tag me if you do, because I'm getting bad about Facebook. I definitely don't want to miss anything that you might share. But have a wonderful couple weeks, okay? And we'll talk, I guess, let's see, the last week of July that we meet again? Yeah, the week of the 22nd. So I'm looking forward to talking to you guys then, but definitely reach out if you need anything in the meantime, okay?
All right, thank you.
Will do.
Yeah, thank you. Good luck. Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Good night.
The moderator has left the conference.